Welcome to our third in a series that we're doing on Johnny's prophetic word for 2018. And we're going to pick up where we left off. We were talking about just a general correlation between the idea of the three kings in the Old Testament, Saul and then David and then Solomon, and transitioning from David was a king of war versus a king of peace, and Solomon came in and ushered in a new era of peace. And so you were explaining to us how you saw this correlation between the three presidents, potentially President Obama, President Trump, and then possibly next president to come would be President Pence, is from your perspective prophetically what you're getting. And that we are in an overall season in our country, which obviously affects the rest of the world, and the rest of the world affects us, but a season of a climate of war. And although the obvious is with the threats from North Korea, there is a sense of that, and we've also have a war against terrorism going on globally. But in general, you're referring more towards a spiritual climate of war, meaning we are not just hunkered down or maintaining ground, but we are taking ground right now in the spirit realm. So there is a clash, there's been disruption, and in the context of that, it's all headed towards a time of great kingdom advancement where it's more about peace and the reign of the kingdom and the earth. And, you know, unlike maybe other prophetic voices, you're not pretending to know the timetable exactly precisely of all these kinds of things. But it's so important, the general sense that we have, that we understand that it's not about hiding, it's not about reacting, it's not about trying to promote religion right now. This is about the knowledge of God, meaning not just who he is, but how he is and how he governs, and how he grows a people up into his better ways, and at the same time, our individual hearts. One of the quick comments I wanted to make before you take it and run with the next point here is that, you know, I'm not a person who's very interested in the nitty-gritty, day-to-day, potentially even month-to-month perspective of what's going on in politics. I do care about our government, and I care about our leaders, I care about the direction of our country, but I'm so wired relationally that when I hear all that you're talking about, and when I read the prophetic word in its entirety that you got from the Lord, it just made me remember again that, you know, what this ultimately is all about is God growing us up to know him and know his ways. So everything is potentially, you know, a test for us. It's a test of not like pass or fail. God wants to know if we're going to fail something. We're going to let him down every time. It's just a given. We're in a fallen world. We have a fallen perspective until he makes us, you know, we are made perfect through Jesus, but like, you know, in the end situation. And so, but it's more of a test as in a mirror. He allows us to see ourselves and see him and say, do you want to come my direction? Do you want to see and respond and represent my true heart? And so when I look at the presidency of this correlation between Saul, David, and Solomon, and Trump, President Obama, President Trump, and potentially the next president, the way it's all playing out, I see tests of hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one story, who's president and what kind of decisions are they making, but to me, the bigger story is how it's affecting the hearts of citizens in our nation and in other nations, and how it's affecting our overall climate, and it's testing our hearts. I remember when President Obama became president, and how I was so wired, like, it has to be Republican, and it has to be somebody who's conservative, they have to be a Christian, and I had such a one-track, narrow-minded way of thinking that I was devastated when President Obama became president. And then it became this, really this 8-year period, right, of, I can just speak for myself, of my heart beginning to acclimate to what God was doing through this man who wasn't this neat little tidy box that I wanted him to be in order for me to feel like God was somehow involved. And so it expanded my heart to see like God was doing bigger things, and so much so that I genuinely am so grateful that he was president those 8 years. Now, you know, I can't speak for all people. Like, there are other ways that he, his presidency and the choices he made negatively affected families or whatever. It'll be the same with President Trump. It'll be the same with whoever's president next. There's always going to be an effect that it has on people that's negative. But are we learning to find God in the midst and be like him and recalculate everything towards how it is for our good?
Well, that's good.
So
that's really good what you're saying there, because I think that is an area where we're maybe the least mature as the body, is we're quickly, we can judge, and that's why President Trump, that's not fruit of the Spirit. God would not put somebody like that there, somebody who's, in the same way we could say, there is no way God was involved with President Obama there because he was pro-choice.
We could say it about every president that's ever been in, honestly.
In what I wrote, I pointed out, you know, we were talking about some of the weaknesses of King David. We didn't even mention the Bathsheba and having Uriah the Hittite killed aspects of who he was. And though God is not acceptable, it doesn't make neither adultery nor murder acceptable right. In any way, but he was still anointed by God to be in a place and to restore certain things to Israel, which he did, which till this day, if you go to Jerusalem, it's called City of David, and he is the person of fame there because of how the Lord used him, and he is even for our own understanding. The Lord says he's a man after my own heart. It doesn't mean those things were after his heart, but what I'm saying with that, Elizabeth, is that it goes with what you're saying is God continually has to use those who are imperfect. And that's all, you know, other than Jesus, every single vessel he's ever had to send are imperfect. And he doesn't withhold assignments because of lack of perfection. He works on their character as he is, you know, as they're stepping into their assignment.
And that's huge for us to know about God. If the whole point of all of life is for us to know him, not just know that he's Savior and that he wants a relationship with him, but to know the nuances of who God is and how he does things. It should bother us the same way that it bothers people about President Trump, or it bothered people about President Obama. It should bother us about King David. He went out of his way to choose him and anoint him, knowing that he would make the horrible mistakes that he made, knowing his character, frailties, etc. And yet it was more about how it would test the hearts of people.
Yeah. And so you have to, and in the testing is to discern what God is doing in the macro as well. Because what we do, as part of what I share, you know, we know, okay, he's a God of love. And so we judge things by whether they're love or not, but we don't understand. It's that Ecclesiastes scripture. We don't see the big picture of what he's doing. Yeah. We don't understand he's doing this massive macro romance love story that's multi-generational, that includes promises that he's made to Abraham and to David and to other ones. And he has these big picture things. And so you had someone like his disciple Peter, that when Jesus was letting them know he's gonna die and he's gonna be killed, Peter says, No. He's thinking, he's responding loving to Jesus. You're not gonna die, but he's actually in what he's trying to advance, you know, the Lord has to turn to him and say, get behind me, and rebuke him. Get behind me, Satan, because he's doing damage to the macro story on love, the cross. And when we don't understand this dynamic of how the micro and the macro intersect, it's not that it's not unknowable. It's just that we have to put aside our own prejudices, our own wounds. There's so much Christian processing through our own race, our own wounds, our own prejudices, our own history of what our parents or grandparents or both did, that we're not really even acclimating ourselves to be humble enough to say, Lord, instruct me, what would be next? We have this conversation a lot, is that there is a need for the body of Christ to know what's next. What is he dealing with next? In Old Testament times, he anointed Nebuchadnezzar. There's Cyrus. We've been reading about the Cyrus and the Cyrus anointing. He was not a believer, a Christian, but he had this assignment on behalf of God's people. And there's been much said. It was Isaiah 45. And so President Trump is the 45th president, and that there was a Cyrus call on him. Yet people freak out when he's doesn't do everything Christian. And yet Cyrus was not either. Nebuchadnezzar was chosen by God. And if you went against the assigned authority they were given, you were going to be hurt. You were going to potentially lose your life, but you did not have the prerogative of saying, well, I just feel that I'm right because that person is not stepping into fruit of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. And so we're not even asking those questions because we're so sure that we know these things ahead of time. And that's where my plea, the body of Christ, is, hey, let's at least show the humility, inquire of the Lord on these things. What are you saying? What are you doing? What's it time for? What season is it? And so we don't find ourselves fighting against God because we're fighting against key players he's putting in there for specific purposes. And that's what even going through the Saul, David, and Solomon aspect, there was a different aspect each one brought in. Saul brought in an understanding how to relate to a king, with a king, because they didn't have that. They were ruled by judges before.
So he was the first king.
He was the first. And David brought in a whole another understanding of how to interact and how to be people of resolve. It was an atmosphere of war and intensity the whole time. And so they just had to learn how to live in that. This is how you expand the kingdom. There's a time for expanding, and then there's a time for settling in the kingdom, as Solomon did. And so when we don't know the times, then we start feeling like we can just judge who's supposed to be in or not be in. And so that's what we're addressing a lot. And so on that, just, you know, it seems like we're having to speak a lot on Trump. And it's like, well, it's not about Trump. It's about the body. It's about whatever else. But it's a lot about Trump because God specifically has chosen to use him, his name, and I think you were mentioning just a little bit earlier, Elizabeth, about the season of war. It's not so much even the natural war. It is at risk everywhere because he is called to confront things. And out of that, we don't know what will come out of it. And so it's an atmosphere of war, whether there is actual war or not, even in the natural. But in the spirit realm, the war is the same war the children of Israel were invited to for 40 years, and they refused. Really, to refuse to cross the Jordan River and to go in the Promised Land was to refuse war, because they knew there were seven enemy nations greater and mightier than them. The 10 spies had told them, they came from right up front and like, listen, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, all these, we're going to have to war. And so even though the Lord said, I'll fight your battle for you, and even though they knew the potential of it, they were not prepared to do so. And so even the Lord speaking to us in his name, because the first city nation that they took was Jericho under the leadership of Joshua, those first chapters of the book of Joshua, now 40 years after having left Egypt. And there is one verse that I list is Joshua 6 and verse 5 says, this is now when they're, you know, they're walking around the walls of Jericho. Mm-hmm. And the assignment before that, when you hear the sound of the trump, .. go straight forward. So that's something the Lord's telling us. When you hear Trump making sound, when you hear Trump, it's time to go straight forward. And that's when the walls began collapsing in. They didn't have to figure out how to blow them up. And really, even what I call the Harvey Weinstein effect is some measure of the walls collapsing. It means that which has held the previous kingdom intact is collapsing. And so we're seeing, again, the remarkable reality of the tops, hundreds at the tops of all seven of the mountains. There is this cleaning out. They're just quietly people stepping down, being released, being demoted, being fired. It's happening all across the board because they know they have to. It's like, what? Yeah, we've allowed this. We can't, for whether it's for publicity reason or for ethical, moral reason, they know that can't be the reality anymore. And so it's tied into all so keenly with the name Trump and the sound of the trump, that that's why we have to focus on that name as well.
So for our purposes now, you're saying that the sound of the trump is basically the Lord signaling through his era of presidency, he's bringing down things that have kept his kingdom from being able to be displayed in every area of culture. So the Promised Land are all these areas of culture that were meant to be an expression of our God, his creativity, his ability to provide, his ability to teach and to give us wisdom.
The seven faces of God on the seven mountains.
The seven faces of God on the seven mountains. So that's what's at stake. That's the Promised Land that we have. So the Promised Land isn't, okay, now there's room for Christians to be all the people in government and all the people in education. You're not saying that. This is not like a takeover. This is about God and in his humility, his better ways coming through his sons and daughters, some of whom don't even know that they're his sons and daughters, but it's the better way. It's government that's done without corruption. It's education that's done where people leave feeling like they have wisdom, which is applied knowledge versus just more information. It's about an economy that is based in generosity and in abundance versus
fear and greed.
Fear and greed and hanging on to. So, you know, all of this makes me so excited. And it's going to sound this way for a while. President Trump is in. He's just got 1 year under his belt now, right?
Right.
And or a little over a year. And so, you know, some of it, there's going to be some redundancy throughout the next several years. And it's not that everything switches at the clock, you know, on 2018. Everything is different. Everything's changed. And a lot of people will give prophetic words that they say, you know, this is the word for the year or whatever. I think that's great. I don't think it's, we have to get over this mentality that, you know, people that we look to as prophetic voices, I believe more than they are called, and I'll speak as you, as one of those main prophetic voices in our generation. It's not that y'all are called to like give us something that we can't hear for ourselves. I believe it's a willingness to live a prophetic journey with the Lord in front of other people, willing to be right, willing to be wrong at times. And what does that look like when you're right? What does it look like when you're wrong? But it's more than anything else, it's teaching and modeling for others how to see. And more importantly, how to see where God is. And so I so appreciate your voice and what I've read in this particular prophetic prophetic word is your voice is more than you're trying to go on the record strongly, like this exact thing's going to happen and this exact, you're teaching us how to perceive the Lord's heart in our daily battles in all the areas of culture.
Yeah. And as it relates to Trump, again, there's so much in the name. I mean, just the quote coincidence of it all for there to be a man whose last name is Trump. And it to be really in the year 5777 when it starts. Again, we've addressed these things before. And then we have all these phenomenon, both in weather patterns, solar eclipse, and everything else that takes place. It's like, that's why you can't ignore. It's like, well, it's not about Trump. Don't forget the Trump part. And so that was, let me just give you a couple more scriptures on it that are in the word I have. But we want to see the brilliance of him choosing a man named Trump to represent game-changing time in history.
Cool.
And Psalm 47:5 says, God has gone up with the sound of the trump. So there is, it doesn't say God was the trump, but he goes up with the sound of the trump. And then Isaiah 18:3 says, when he blows a trump or trumpet, hear it. So he's like, that's part of the message we're saying. It's like when he's blowing a trump, when he's sounding a trump, hear what he's saying. And what's the time for us to do and what we're to be about? And we already mentioned it's actually Zechariah 9:14. The Lord God will blow the trump and march in the hurricanes of the south. I think in a previous podcast I might have mentioned it being Zechariah 9:12. And Nehemiah 4:20, when they're rebuilding the walls, it says, when you hear the sound of the trump, rush to wherever is sounding, then our God will fight for us. There's something there for application. I'm going to say that one more time. When you hear the sound of the trump, rush to wherever it is sounding. God is fighting for us. He will fight for us. And wherever his voice goes, whatever area of society, when you hear his voice going after it in some way, get involved in a kingdom way. Again, there's a primary invitation. We haven't really established it clearly in our conversation right now, but it goes without saying, but it's seek first the kingdom of God. Hmm. And we really have to learn how to be people that before we get our own opinions, or if we get our own opinions, take them to the king and see if they're called to bow. But seek first the kingdom of God, his storyline, that word, his righteousness, really his justice, his path being made straight on the earth. His narrative, his storyline coming to earth, his love story coming to earth. And then other things will make sense. And then there's one, the last, it's amazing in that even the last trump scripture of 1 Corinthians 15, and we're not in that timetable, the last trump, but the last trump, it's followed by the statement, we shall all be changed. And this is what this season's about, all of us changing, all of us making adjustments. And if we're going to go into promised land like the children of Israel after being 40 years of operating in tents and in survival mode, and then like, when's Jesus coming back, we can say mode, and it's like, no, it's about a whole different dimension. It's reformation, restoration of the face of God to society. We're all going to do a lot of changing. And so that's a primary question to be asking about. How do I change right mm-hmm. now? How can I begin to change my assumptions, my opinions, to get in touch with you?
That's awesome. So, why don't you pray over people along that lines of just positioning their hearts for change and embracing it rather than bucking it like we tend to do.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Lord, we just ask right now, I just ask, Lord, to be a grace that is released, even on those who are hearing this message right now, Lord, a grace to embrace, a grace to embrace the new and the new changes that are coming overall and that are coming individually to these that are listening, Lord. Ask you to break off the fear that's on your sons and daughters. There are some that have fear because they have projected that even President Trump's against them or their race or whatever. And Lord, I just ask you to break off any fear for whatever reason that's on any one of your sons and daughters that are listening to this message. And there are still people under the grip of conspiracy fear that we're so used to seeing everybody else great but you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a time you are releasing the oil on your sons and daughters so they can see you as a sovereign, great God, a big God, a bigger than God, yes, a better than God. And so I ask, Lord, that you would secure the hearts that are listening even right now,
yes,
through your oil, that it would be like an impartation that would come on their head, flow down into their soul and spirit, and allow them to make the shift and change that they need to make to be in alignment with you and the good things that you have for them in this season.
Yes.
You know, I think I wrote about it as well, that the word breakthrough is perhaps the most overused word as it relates to prophetic words. You know, I see breakthrough, and there's breakthrough. We're all going to, you know, it's like breakthrough is one of these, it's prophetic cliched. And it's like, well, what would breakthrough look like? But I wrote about it a little bit because the Lord was reminding me of it even as I was writing the prophetic word, because it was King David who encountered him as the Lord of breakthroughs. It's perhaps where we get the idea of breakthrough, even from the story out of 2 Samuel 6:20, and where David tells, you know, he inquires of the Lord. It's amazing because David would have victory after victory after victory, but he, every time before there's another battle, he'd say, and he inquired of the Lord. And there's one time he didn't, it didn't go well. And then he learned, you know what? Even when you're winning everything, you inquire of the Lord. And the Lord delivered the Philistines into his hand. And so he named the place Baal Perazim. We hear the word Baal. We go, well, what's that? Because we think of Baal only as it relates to, you know, the principality of Baal.
Right.
But Baal, the word literally means Lord. And so he was saying Baal Perazim, which means Lord of breakthroughs. And then he proclaimed, the Lord has broken through my enemies. And so this is, in fact, the season that we're in. This is what God does have for each and every one of us as we embrace the season. I say in some way the leadership and the assignment he has placed before us, embracing his narrative, embracing, recognizing the things that he's involved in, embracing them, and then he becomes the Lord of breakthroughs for our personal. He is the God. He wants to be Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthroughs. David called him that and saw him as that. And so he really does want to be that for us. And it'll have a difference why it has to remain sort of a nebulous, vague thing, because breakthrough does mean something different for each and every one of us. And I think most people, if they take a moment to think about what that is, you can identify the area of that would
I think it means something that needs changing actually changed. You know,
yeah.
It's like you wait and wait for that thing to change, and it changes, and breakthrough happened. You know, so that's, it connects with what you're saying about change. This is a season of change, and we can trust that he will bring us all the way through into the new thing.
Yeah, it really
Lord
is.
Lord of the breakthroughs.
Lord of the breakthroughs. So I don't know if you want to pray over them in closing for this particular session as well, Elizabeth. I think we're about done with our podcast time if I've been following our minutes as well, but it really is an exciting time. It really is. When you connect to the heart of the Lord, I can just feel it even as we're talking, and he's got so much for us. He's so excited about what he's going to reveal of himself in a corporate, collective way.
Yep.
And for us individually, because they work together. So.
Yep. Well, Lord, thank you for every person who's taken the time to listen and whose hearts are hungry to understand what you're doing and what you're saying. And so we just agree together over them for that, the grace for breakthrough and for embracing the next thing that you're doing for each person that's been a part of this today. In Jesus' name, we bless you.
Amen.